Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Also, by the way, you can listen to us on AM 1620, FM 95.3, digital 3 on 98.7, right? And then over the web and over the app, the News Radio Pensacola app is very, very good. You can listen. You can. My thing I always tell people is if you get tired of me, you can pause and come back later when you can handle it some more. My wife
but
wants
I can't
that
do
button.
That.
No, yeah, no, it doesn't work for you, John. Joining us now by phone, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I know the kind of the big topic a little bit, at least on Channel 3, is this Project Zero. We have talked about this before. It's not new. It's something that's been, you know, in the works since, 10 years or so, something like that, with the Transportation Planning Organization, the feds, the city council, and so forth. But which, if people don't know, Project Zero is to the goal of reducing deaths in car versus car or car versus people collisions to zero. I personally think that Project Zero is a pipe dream and almost a little silly, if only because we're not going to put speed regulators on every car to 20 miles an hour or put speed limits to 20 miles an hour, which would solve it, but we're not going to do that. So it's never going to happen. But I am curious, what have you seen in some of the places where we've put improvements in road diets into these streets locally? Because we've done several of these projects.
Yeah, it's already began in Pensacola. In fact, City Council started looking at this back in 2017. And since then, the main areas you'll see some differences are Cervantes Street with the road diet there, Main Street with gone from four lanes to two lanes, and North Palafox just recently. And all three of those locations have had traffic fatalities before the road diets were put into place, and not one single fatality has occurred in any of those places since then.
No, that's good. I mean, as much though we like to make fun of the border wall in Cervantes, the road diet, the chicanes, all of the things that are annoying and inconvenient, and the reduced speed, it's got a reduced speed limit, they do make a difference. And even I think of Pace, right? Pace is right on the edge of the city, but Pace has the lane restrictions because they put in bike lanes just from restriping. There's no road diet there, but, I mean, there is a little bit of a superficial one. And do you know on Pace, have we also seen a reduction or seen no fatalities since they did that last year?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I don't know about that. Most of that's not in our jurisdiction if a traffic crash was to occur. I agree with what you said earlier, as long as the human being is involved, there's going to be mistakes made and there's going to be injuries and deaths. And if you look at the way they're making cars now with front sensors on the bumpers, look at your Teslas and other vehicles that are almost driving themselves. As soon as you take away the human factor, things might get better. I think we're a long way away from cars driving themselves with no issues, but it's heading in that direction, and we certainly hope to see one day to where vehicles are just not made or able to collide with each other. That would be great.
And, you know, every once in a while, I get to talk about this with law enforcement, and it is worth repeating that, because it goes back at least as far as Chief Leiter, with the red light cameras and all of that. But from your point of view, you know, Pensacola Police, you're trying to reduce gun violence, homicides, you know, all the different ways that people hurt each other. But the number one threat to life and property is not from the individual just walking around doing something. It's from the car, right?
Yeah, it's from people making mistakes and being careless. And when we go up and we see these fatalities, whether it be in a vehicle or a pedestrian, and then we find out what the cause of it was, it's something that was so simple, that was so incredibly preventable. It's very sad. And so that's why the initiative, like you said, back through from Chief Leiter on, has been traffic enforcement. And right now, the police, what we do is we have to write tickets. We have to issue fines for those mistakes. But once again, as long as the human being is involved, I'm afraid we're going to have these issues.
Yeah, and, you know, speed kills, running red lights kill, distracted driving kills, and sleepy driving kills, drunk driving kills. As you say, they are all human error kinds of things, and, you know, you can work to reduce them, but as long as there's people behind the wheel controlling things, you know, there's going to be consequences. I had a question for you. It's just kind of a weird thing. I guess this has become the weird things that happened to Andrew segment, but the other day I was coming back from, I think I was coming back from when John and I did the ride-along on the big cargo ship, and I was coming through Main Street, going home, and I was between Wahoos and Palafox, and all of a sudden it was dusk slash dark, early night, and there was just a lot of, well, let's say 20-somethings running around on the scooters, and they were all over the place in the street. But the thing that most weirded me out is they had loudspeakers, and they were pretending to be police. You know, pull over, you're in violation, you're speeding. Now, I knew enough to know they weren't police, and it bothered me without, like, making me do something stupid. But I have to believe that that is illegal, right?
Well, they're borderline impersonating a police officer. I mean, that's something that we would have to see on our own in order to do something about. But I can promise you that Pensacola Police Department has not implemented the VO scooters in any way, shape, form, or fashion to tell people to pull over or enforce traffic laws. That's definitely not us. And, you know, it's been a long time since we've had a report of someone hurt or injured on one of those scooters. So whenever we see them, a lot of these that are operated by 5, 6, 7 people or more at the same time, we do stop them. We do issue warnings and make sure they understand they have to abide by the traffic laws.
Yeah, I know for a lot of people, they think of these things as conveniences to get around. But, you know, for some people, they are definitely used as, you know, recreation, entertainment. And that had been the source of the problems before with the old stand-up scooters. You know, the sit-down ones have been better for that, or at least, you know, that's what you guys keep telling us, right? The sit-down ones have been much less problematic, right?
Yeah, so far, so good.
We always like to end with a did-you-know or a cop myth. Do you have one for us this week?
I do, and this one just keeps coming up every so often, and it's about whether law enforcement must identify themselves when they are in an undercover capacity, and the answer to that is absolutely not, or there would be no such thing as an undercover capacity. So
right.
They don't have to. Eventually in court they will, but in order to enforce these laws, especially with child predators on the internet, we certainly are not we certainly don't have to identify ourselves as officers, but we do have to in uniform when we're acting in our official capacity and somebody asks what our name and badge number is. We will certainly give that to them upon request. And it's also prominently displayed on the uniform of every officer.
And, you know, it's kind of funny because this is one of those myths where you're kind of glad the criminals believe it because you're in an undercover capacity. And, you know, we've all seen the movies. Well, you're not a cop, are you? No, not. See, they have to tell us. No, it'd be stupid to require that. But it's good for criminals to believe it because they get a false sense of security. As I understand it, the only thing that the police are constitutionally obligated to tell you the truth about is, as you say, you know, ID and badge number in uniform. Or you cannot lie to somebody about their rights. Like if somebody asks you in an interrogation, do I have a right to an attorney? Do I have a right to remain silent? You cannot mislead them about their rights, right?
That is correct. They must know their rights 100%. So that's something that can't be done either. So, you know, I've seen it in the past when I was a young rookie officer. When an officer was asked for his name, he would give the name of another officer just to mess with him. And it's funny to us, but it's not funny. And you can't do that. And that's certainly something that's not tolerated. So, yeah, we must tell the truth on who we are when we're asked by a citizen, when we're in uniform or acting in our official capacity.
Absolutely. Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time, keeping us informed and, you know, keeping us safe. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.